talking low.
I I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of Christ my Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flowing. Now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name's written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time.
Amen. Thank you.
Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. It is hairy till you're better. You will never come at all.
It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flowing. Now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name's written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time.
Oh, you just don't hear shouting like you used to in the church. Now, I was raised on people running the pews and jumping and running out the door and everything else. Boys, I tell you, Lord's good.
God in the valley.
Yes, he is.
When things go He's God of the day. He's still God in the night.
I see the sunrise in the morning, when I hear the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of shivering rain, I know it's all a part of God's amazing grace. And I believe
there's a place called heaven.
I believe
in a place called
as she closed her eyes in sleep. Felt the power of 10,000 angels take her soul away to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe
that
somebody's knees, my name there was mentioned. God heard them praying, and my life was changed. Somebody prayed,
somebody touched Jesus,
somebody used faith.
Oh,
made it through. Through to the ears of the Master, everything changed when somebody prayed. A childlike faith with words so simple. A soft, gentle touch from old calloused hands. Listen for hours while these old saints pray. When they got through praying, what a change it had made. Somebody prayed. Somebody touched Jesus. Somebody used faith when there was no hope. Their prayers made it through to the ears of the Master. Everything changed when somebody prayed. Prayers made it through to the ears of the Master. Everything changed
when somebody prayed.
When somebody prayed. Thank
you.
Trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day, it'll wake the dead. Twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
I believe the time is near. Yes, this could be the day when the saints of every nation will lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away.
I believe he's coming back like he said. And I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day it'll wake the dead. Like he said. You know, and I believe he's really coming back before long. I really do. You know, you have to excuse these senior citizens.
We're not professional, y'all.
She's always late for everything.
He's always waiting on a woman. Y'all pray for me.
for me.
There's room for me.
All my life I've heard the story about a man from Galilee, how he calmed the raging rivers and he walked the stormy sea. I can feel the wind blowing here upon my bended knees, so I'm calling out to you, Lord, come and calm the storm for me. Come and calm
the raging storm,
the storm for me.
Song we're going to do here is Why Me, Lord. Sometimes when I look around and see things, how they're going, I wonder why God reached down and sent his only begotten son to save a dying world like we are. But I'm so glad that he found something in me, that I was worthy, that he saved my soul one day from a burning hell. And I thank God for that. Praise the Lord.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness
wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am, but now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul.
You think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you? Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way.
Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know.
your hand.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to do an instrumental at this time. Y'all can sing and clap with us. Jesus, hold my hand. Give G.
Ever get adjusted just right?
Say we're glad to have these other two musicians with us today.
I'll take a moment to introduce the group right quick. To my far left is Wayne Anderson and his wife Mary Ann. And to my far right is my husband LaFette. I'm Patricia. This is Ray Howard. And this is Chris and Cody. And we make up strings for him.
I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that now, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along my my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all His blessings and the mercy He's bestowed. Things went wrong, and my faith grew mighty thin. Then one day, those old dark clouds broke. The sun peeped through again. So, Lord,
help me not to grumble.
This song that we're about to sing means an awfully lot to me.
Amen.
I love it.
I imagine all of y'all know it so you can sing along.
Yes.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, what glorious day.
Sorrow there, This is an old song I have always loved. Jericho Road. Hope y'all remember to sing along with us.
As you travel along,
as you travel along,
on the Jericho Road,
on the Jericho Road,
does the world seem all wrong,
does the world seem all wrong,
and heavy your load, just bring it to Christ,
just bring it to Christ,
your sins all confess,
your sins all confess,
on the Jericho Road,
on the Jericho Road.
Will
be blessed on the Jericho
Road.
There's room for just two.
There's room for just two.
No more and no less.
No more and no less.
Just Jesus and you.
Just Jesus and you.
Each burden you bear.
Each burden you bear.
Each sorrow you share.
Each sorrow you share.
There's never a care.
There's never a
Jesus is there.
Lord Jesus is there.
Oh, brother to you.
Oh, brother to you.
This message I bring.
This message I bring.
No hope may be gone.
No hope may be gone. No more and no less.
No more and no less.
Just Jesus and you.
Just Jesus and you.
Each burden you bear.
Each burden you bear.
Each sorrow you share.
Each sorrow you share.
There's never a care.
There's never a care.
For Jesus is there.
For Jesus is there.
Coats were before me, an old and a new. As my sweet master, what must I do? The first coat was ugly, so tattered and torn. The other
I ever heard it do. I took off the old coat and put on the new.
The first man was earthly, raised from the ground. We bore all his image, the whole world was bound. Next was my Savior from heaven so fair. He gave me his new coat, he now sees me wear.
I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat. Put on.
best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on the new. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on.
This is my testimony right here. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
This glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed, when the clouds be rolled back as the scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so,
it is good to be here today. It's only thing depressing about it is everybody's getting older. I mean, every time I turn around, even Jane Bailey's looking old. I mean, you know, but we can't help that. I got an echo. There we go. My wife sends her best, her greetings. Bit was always one to create problems for me. You know, they say every preacher has a troublemaker in the church. I just took mine with me. But May the 29th, I was to start a sabbatical at my church. We had been finished up our building, and I was going to be off for 7 weeks to refresh and to visit other churches that I'd pastored and everything. and going on family vacation and going to do some stuff, just really have a time of refreshing. The sabbatical started at 12:01 on May the 29th. And at 6:30 that night in South Carolina, Bit fell and broke her ankle. So she just messed up my sabbatical. DJ and Corey had to bring her home in a big van. So we called them Dumb and Dumber, come bringing her home. And brought her home on a hospital gurney and a funeral home stretcher. That's a true story. It's just part of the story. So she gets home and we go to the doctor and she has to have surgery. They put pins and so she can't put any weight on it. And she's doing okay, but hopefully in about 3 weeks she'll be able to put weight on it right when I get to go back to work. So go back to the church. But anyway, but she could not be with me here today. So I appreciate you remembering her. It is a joy to be here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, a passage of scripture that really comes to mind today when we think about celebration. The music that we've heard today has been a blessing. And the reason it's a blessing is because it's being sung by and for people who know Christ. Amen. And that's what makes the joy of it all. Music is wonderful, all kinds of music. But when you get into Christian music, regardless of the genre, it shares the message that we know. And that's the reason there's a joy there. Peter, in writing this, his gospel, 1 Peter, he was writing to a group of people in Asia Minor that were under persecution. There was trouble, there was sorrow, and there was concern. And remember now, this was first century, so they didn't have the completed book. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the gospel, the New Testament as we have it today. It was actually being written at this time. So it was very important for Christians to be encouraged by the apostles. That was the apostles' calling, was to carry the gospel to the world. And this group of people was struggling. And you can tell they were struggling by the way Paul wrote the message and shared the truth. But in these few verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, Peter is reminding them of what they have in Christ. And reminding them of their presence of Christ in their time of need. And then he was challenging them to live in such a way that that hope was revealed. We live in a troubled time. I'm 69. When in 1969, I was 16, and I heard the same preacher say the same thing. We're living in troubled times. They just thought they were in trouble back then. Times are considered to get worse. We know that. We look around us today and we see things are going on, and it can cause a fear to come upon us. Christians can be fearful. But that's because we've lost a sense of who we have in Christ and what we have in Christ. And Peter was saying, giving a message to these people in the first century that speaks to our hearts today. Yes, we're in a troubled world. Yes, there is problems. Yes, Satan is alive and well. But the old chorus that we used to sing as a kid, greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we should live our lives today believing that, knowing that, and trusting that. And when we do, then we become a light to the lost world. There is a generation today, and maybe parts of two generations, that are living without any hope. You read studies and suicide and other things and drugs and alcohol, and you talk to people, young people, millennials, and you ask them about their future, and they have no hope. They have no desire to grow. Look what happened after COVID. Nobody went back to work. And when we were growing up and all through the younger years, we were taught, you know, that work had a purpose and had a meaning. We provided for ourselves with it. But when people can sit without any hope, without any future, without any thought of things being better or worth living, they lose hope. And we, as believers, have the only hope. Amen. Look with me in what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Peter packed so much in this, you could preach for days on it, but we won't do that. But we want to highlight the thoughts here that he said, the different aspects of what we have in Christ. Yes, we're saved. But what does it mean to be saved? Well, first of all, we see in verse 3, we see a new birth. The Jewish doxology would say, blessed thou art thou, O God. But the Christian doxology praises God for sending his Son to be our Savior. And notice in verse 3, he says, according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? You must be born again. And Nicodemus said, you mean I got to go back to my mother's womb? Well, he knew that wasn't right. That was hyperbole. He knew that wasn't possible. But Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit and of the water. You must be born of the Word. He was saying a new birth. Now think about this for a moment. Think about your salvation. Some of you were saved as children. Some of you may have been saved as adults. But think about the fact that one moment you were dead in trespasses and sin. There was no life here. Nothing. There was a physical life. You were breathing. But there was nothing spiritual. You were dead. But the Holy Spirit quickened you and drew you to Christ. And you, at that drawing, you repented of your sin and accepted Christ. And boom, there's life. There's life. There's a new birth. Sidebar here. But this is the reason in the New Testament, Paul tells us that you should not be unequally yoked. Amen. What was he talking about? He was talking about marriage there. He was talking about the fact. And why? He said, how can a dead man or a dead woman have anything in common with a live man and a live woman? Now, we know physically and emotionally and as a human being, there can be a relationship. But nothing can be real in its depth without both being alive. Amen. That's the reason Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, have one thing in common. Go to the church that we are part of at Grace Life. God's blessed us there. We have a strong pastor. But our congregation looks as odd as all get out. There's old, there's young, there's rich, there's poor, there's educated, there's people who love bluegrass, there's people who love contemporary music, there's people who love something in between. There's blacks, there's white, there's Hispanics. There's all kind of occupations. We're as different as night and day. But you know the beauty of it? We come together, we're one in Christ because of Christ. And that bonds us in. And that's the beauty of Christ. And that is the witness to the world, because nothing else binds men together like Christ can. Now, there are certain things that tie people together, but they're not tied together completely unless it's Christ. And here we have a new birth. So this morning, if you're here and you know Christ, you've been born again. And there's something else about that born again. You can never be unborn. Never be unborn. If you're here today and you know Christ as your personal Savior, he has brought you out of condemnation into life, then that life is eternal. Now, there are a lot of people that say they're saved and not. A lot of people fake it and all that. But the true believer is eternally saved. And that picture's there. And that is the beauty. And that's the first thing we have. Well, the next thing we see is our hope. Our new birth gives way to hope. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father according to Jesus, who who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Christ had not been raised, all would have been in vain. But of course, we knew from the prophecy of the Old Testament that when Christ came to die, that he would arise from the grave. He would raise from the grave. He would come alive again. But our hope is in the fact that he is not in that grave. And you know, if you're ever interested in apologetics, there's a great little book written by Josh McDowell, and he talks about the proof of the resurrection. Do you know there's more proof of the resurrection than there is of other great people in iniquity? There's not. There's more proof of the resurrection than there is of the kings of Rome, of the history of the Egyptians. There is more proof of the resurrection. I don't need any more proof because he lives here with me. But we have a hope because he came out of that grave. And remember when he ascended, they said, you see him leaving, he's coming back to get you. We have a hope there. It's tough to live without hope. Did you know that? It really is. If you ever met somebody, they'd lost all hope. That's probably one of the leading causes of suicide, is people get to the point where they don't think, there's nothing to hope for. There's nothing to believe in and nothing to trust. Sometimes we lose sight of that. And the hope that we have in Christ supersedes all everything else. And that's what we have here. And Paul and Peter here says that it's a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus. It's not in our hope is not in anything man can do or must do. Now certainly we trust each other and we hope there's going to, I hope my wife's ankle gets well. Lord, I don't have to take care of her the rest of my life. I mean, I hope she gets well. We have a hope. We have hope. And there's nothing wrong with having hope. But earthly hope is temporary, and it's certainly not guaranteed. But our hope is in what Christ has already done, and what he's already done is proving what he is still doing in our lives today. Our hope is as sure as Christ is alive. That's our hope. The third thing we see here, that he talks about our new birth, our hope. Then he moves to verse 4 and he talks about our inheritance. Look, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. His inheritance he's talking about here is being imperishable, meaning it's unravaged by an army. He's using a term here to mean that it can't be destroyed. You know, in that day and time, and even today, when armies, when battles are fought, and the side that wins ravishes many things and tears up and steals and takes apart and destroys it. Well, he says here, our inheritance cannot be ravished by an invading army. It cannot. It's undefiled. It means it's pure. Think about what's pure in our world today. The only thing that's pure, and it's momentarily, is a baby when they're first born. And even then, they're born in sin. But you know, there's just something precious about a newborn baby before they've had a chance to be defiled by the world. But purity is not known in our world. It's not such a thing as absolute purity except Christ. And our inheritance is absolutely pure. And then he goes on to say that it cannot fade away. Talking about a flower there, you know, a beautiful rose, a beautiful flower. It captures our heart. It captures our vision. It captures our emotion. But it will fade away. It will not last forever. It will die and the petals will fall off. Well, here he is saying that our inheritance cannot be destroyed. It cannot be wiped away. It will not fade away. It will not be in any way compromised. He's talking about our inheritance in heaven. He's talking about the time that we will be with God. That is our inheritance. Now, we don't live today just waiting for heaven. We're supposed to live today in anticipation of it. But it is important that we not forget that we're, as a gospel song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere above the blue. Don't worry. I'm not going to sing it, but I can say the words to it. But the reality of it is we are temporary. Now, what's happened in our lifetime and in the lifetime of those of you in my parents, my dad's generation, it has really become a comfortable place to live in America. We got air conditioning. We got indoor plumbing. We got Bluebell ice cream. We got all kind of sports things to watch. We got all kind of entertainment. Jobs are tough, but they're certainly manageable. The wages are more than reasonable. So we've got a good life. And that has caused us as Christians in the Western civilization to lose sight of the future inheritance because we're enjoying what... And there's nothing wrong with enjoying what we have now, but we live today as if this is it. And then when tragedy comes, when something happens, all of a sudden we fall apart. Why? Because we lost the reality of what our inheritance was originally. Whatever good we have in this life is just a little bit of an extra blessing because it's nothing compared to eternity. And the older we get, the more we realize that. Is that not true? But the reality of it is we have an inheritance. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare it and I'll come again to receive you. Now, preaching about heaven, it's not the message today, but we need to pause and realize every day we live is a day closer to eternity, heaven or hell. Our death is coming. I've never met anybody that escaped death. So we know it's coming. And to me, as we move closer to natural age of dying, of course, death can come at any age. We know that. Death, tragically, sin come into the world, and it brought death. And we sadly didn't say that we know, and many of you experience this, losing life of children, a spouse at young ages. We know that. But the natural time of death is old. And as we move toward that, we realize day by day how precious life is, but how short it is and how futile it is to be focusing on all of our thoughts here. What do you think about when you got some idle time? Are we always thinking about the here and now? We're thinking about what we got, what we're going to get, what we're going to do. Should the hope that we have in Christ, the closer we walk with Christ, the more our hearts should long to be with Him. And it could be today, if your thoughts are never about your eternal inheritance, it could be one of two things. You're not saved, or you are saved, but you're certainly not focusing on Christ. You're focusing on building your own little kingdom, your own little world. And that's good, I guess, but it's temporary. But Peter here was saying, look, folks, life is tough right now. And listen, some of you here today are walking through some tough times. There's no doubt about it. In a crowd this side, I guarantee you there's people that are dealing with problems, either with family or in-laws or work or health issues. And there's some real struggles. There's no doubt about that. But in the midst of those struggles, Peter is saying to his congregation there, to the people in Asia Minor, and he's saying it to us, let's remember our birth. Let's remember our hope. Let's remember our inheritance. And then he tells us in verse 5, he says, you don't have to worry because you're protected. Look at verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation. I am protected by God. Nothing can come into my life except that what God allows for His purpose and His glory. Now, that doesn't mean we have to understand it all. I don't understand why my wife broke her ankle, except she's clumsy. I don't understand that. And it hit, I mean, it just, bam, it happens. I never will forget, a little over 5 years ago, I have a situation at home and realize I need to go to the doctor. And 4 days later, they tell me I have cancer. And I was a healthy person, still am. Basically, God's blessed. And I never will forget going in there and the doctor telling me I had cancer and he had to do surgery. And I thought, well, you know, my life's changed pretty quick. Just like that, it changed. Now, the Lord's been gracious and He took care of us. But life can change in a moment. It only takes one phone call. It only takes one. And think about that group of baby boomers that was eating a potluck supper the other night at the Vestavia Church. One of the men that got shot actually invited the guy who did the shooting to sit at his table with him, and he didn't come. One of my dear best friends was on scene there as a fireman. And the lady that was helping restrain the shooter, she was right next to her husband with blood all over where he'd been shot. Now, folks, that's tragedy. That's evil. And it happens like that. And it happens to good people. Sin is real. So our hope and our life is in Christ. But even in the midst of all of this, we can trust God to protect us because of our salvation. Now, he will not necessarily protect us from every harm and danger, but in the midst of all of that, we're protected. And we're also protected eternally in the fact that Satan cannot touch my soul. I have been born again. I've had the new birth, and I am protected from the eternity of damnation. And to me, that's the greatest protection, because this is a short part of life. Eternity is following death. And then we look quickly after we see our new birth, our hope, our inheritance, our protection. We see that we have a faith. And of course, the faith is all of this. Look in verse 5. He says that you who are protected by the power of God through faith. And then in verse 7, he talks about the proof of your faith. In other words, you've proved your faith because you've been tested and you're walking true to God. The true believer will follow God eventually. If he does not follow God eventually, something's wrong, because the test and trials prove our faith. And then we also see there in the faith, we see the outcome of faith in verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Because the faith that we exhibited and extended to Christ brought him to us. You know where that faith, seed of faith came from? It came from God. God literally plants the seed of faith in us that we can use to accept him. And so it is exciting to know that we have a faith. You know, sometimes we don't know how much faith we have till it's tested. And I say this in all humility. When I was diagnosed with cancer, it was stage 3. And it could have been more serious than it was. But anyway, you know, what I was so thankful for is the calmness that I had. The peace, it was there. Now, I was concerned about Bit. Lord of mercy, somebody have to take care of her if I come out with me. But I never felt anxious. The only thing that bothered me through the whole thing was the needles. And I do despise needles, and I still do. God's got a sense of humor, because I got stuck a bunch of times here and all that. But the reality of it is, you know what? My faith became real. Now, I'm not wishing anybody to be tested in that way. But what is so beautiful about knowing Christ and the hope we have in Christ is our faith in Christ. When the trials come, and they will come, when the troubles come, our faith activates. And you know what? We're okay. We're okay. And that's what's precious about it. And if this morning, if you're in a situation where your faith is not working for you, then do a little soul searching. Make sure you have the faith. Amen. If you do, then ask God to help you practice it and put it into place. And then we see our joy. We see our birth, our hope, our inheritance, our protection, our faith. And then we have our joy. Look at verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Notice that's not past tense. He didn't say you greatly rejoiced. He said you greatly rejoice. It's present tense. We can rejoice, look, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Even in the midst of trials and troubles and sorrows, we can rejoice because in who we know and what he's done for us. That's the beauty of what we have in Christ. If we acknowledge this, our lives should be different out there. Should be different out there. We should be, there should be joy. Sometimes our joy is, we're tested. But you know, in all of our reading, and I know you've read books about the heroes of the faith and all, it's amazing to me, those that have the greatest testimony, and those who seem to be the closest to the Lord, and those who seem to be the most at peace with the Lord, many times are those who have walked through the toughest valleys and most difficult stress. You know, the song you sung, "It Is Well My Soul." Do you know the background of it? The gentleman sent his family, I'll tell the short version. He was in Chicago, and he sent his family to England, and he was going to finish up some business and follow along behind him. And his daughters on the ship. The ship sank and they died. And he was following them over on the next ship. And when he got in the area where the ship went down, the captain told him this is where his family died. And that's when he wrote that song. Now you think about that. But that's what it's all about, what we have in Christ. And the worst, you know, Paul talked about troubles and trials, but he said there's nothing to compare to what we'll be as we come to know Christ. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to rejoice. The rejoicing is now. And that's what Paul's, that's what keeps saying Paul. Peter said here, we rejoice. Notice the last thing. We see our birth, our hope, our inheritance, our protection, our faith, our joy. But the last thing, and this to me is exciting, look at verse 7. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is imperishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord is going to rejoice because of us? Think about that. Christ is going to rejoice when we're ushered in because we are the fruit of His labor, if you will. And our lives bring Him joy. But we can always also bring Him sadness when we don't walk with Him. But Peter is reminding these believers here, look, as tough as it may be, you've got something. And let it live through you. Turn it loose so it will be a witness to the world. Our blessing will be the fact that God will praise us. Look in verse 8 and 9. It's not by sight. Peter said, I love this, and though you have not seen Him, Peter had seen Christ. And poor old Peter, he had a rough time early on, did he not? He denied Christ. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. He was always drawing the sword out, cutting off an ear. He was always doing things he shouldn't do. He was quick-tempered. But when he come to humble himself before the Lord, when he finally got to the place he knew he couldn't do it on his own and trusted the Lord completely, God used him at Pentecost to preach the great message there where thousands were saved. Peter said, even though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, but you believe in Him. That's faith. I've never seen Jesus. You say, well, some people have dreams about seeing Him and all, and I'll leave that to another message. Maybe they have seen something that we don't know what Jesus looked like. There's no real picture of Him. But the reality of it is we have seen Him by faith. Amen. And that's the key. By faith we see Him. And Peter was complimenting this group of people. He was saying, you haven't seen Him like I have, but yet you rejoice in Him. You, by faith, you've seen Him. And by faith, we come to salvation. Peter was contrasting seeing Jesus with faith. All of this evolves around the inheritance that we have in Christ. We have a lot of things in this world, but nothing compares us. Nothing but Christ matters. There was a gentleman that collected art. And he had an art collection that over time was pretty valuable. And he had one son. And that son come to love the art with him. And as a young man, they gathered it and talked about it and shared it with people. Well, the son went off to war and was killed in the war. Deeply saddened the father because he was looking forward to spending time with his son as they developed their art collection. Christmas Day following his death, a knock on the door opened. There was a soldier there. And that soldier was a friend of his son. And he said, I'd like to share something with you. He said, your son introduced me to art. He said, he talked about y'all's art collection, and it was just beautiful. He said, I've always drawn a little bit, but I'm not a real artist. But he said, I got something I want to give you. And he uncovered. He had drew a picture of the man's son. Now, it wasn't fancy, but it was a picture. And the man was just proud to have it. So he hung it over the mantle. And anybody would come to see the art, he would tell them about that picture and where it came from and how much it meant to him. Well, when he died, it was his wishes that his art collection to be auctioned off. And he wanted it done on Christmas Day because that was the day he received the picture from his son. So they gathered, and all the people there, they was art collectors from everywhere because they had seen it or knew it. And the first picture the auctioneer brought up to auction off was that penciled drawing of his son. And the people laughed. What? We're at an art auction. Why are we fooling with this? He said, well, this is according to the wishes of the deceased, this is to be auctioned off first. We don't want that. We want to auction off the art. We want to buy the real art. One man said, well, hey, I'll give you. He said, Anybody give us $100 for it? Nobody do. Nobody. Finally, one man said, look, I'll give you $10 for it if it'll get this art show going. And the man come up here and gave him $10 and gave him the art. And then the man stepped back and said, well, the auction is closed. They said, what? We came here to buy art, and all we've sold is one picture? And he said, well, the man said, whoever got the son got it all.
Amen.
And it's regardless of what we think we have, it can be gone in a minute, gone in a second. But our inheritance is in Christ.
Amen.
This morning, if you're discouraged, if there's troubles in your heart, they're real. We're not making light of them. Christ didn't make light of them. You may have a burden. There may be difficulty in your marriage. There may be problems with your children. There may be a problem at work. There may be a problem with your health. And my goodness, we have problems all around us in our world. And they're scary. But maybe we just need to step back and be reminded that our birth is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Our inheritance is in Christ. He gave us the faith to trust Him. And He gave us joy that's unspeakable and cannot be taken away if we'll just focus on Him. And as we focus on Him, the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The world will not become unimportant to us, but it will not be our goal and our desires. And our desire will be to make more of Jesus. And as we do that, we present to a world the only hope that there is. May we pray. Dear Lord, thank You for our time together today. Thank You for Your word and how it speaks to us. May we trust in You. May we be reminded, God, that You are our hope, You're our salvation, You're our faith, You're our joy, You're our inheritance. And God, may we live in such a way that the world sees that in us. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.